Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This week, WBUR is examining the landmark 1993 law that changed K-12 education in Massachusetts. Our Edify team is bringing you a series called Pass-Fail, evaluating 25 years of education reform. Now, one of the most important parts of that reform, the MCAS, the statewide standardized test that was meant to be a measuring tool and accountability tool to see if schools are getting kids to the levels that they need to be at. Well, 25 years later, some teachers, parents, and legislators are raising questions about whether high-stakes testing kills creativity in the classroom and whether it provides a meaningful measure of the skills that students need to succeed in the 21st century. So first, let's start with WBUR Edify reporters Max Larkin and Carrie Young. They talked with one teacher who says the MCAS has taken the creativity and passion out of her classroom.
Deb McCarthy remembers a time before the MCAS. She's been teaching fifth grade in Hull for the last 22 years. And when she started, she says she loved to teach reading.
And so if we were reading a novel, we would act it out.
McCarthy remembers in particular having her class read the book Sarah Plain and Tall. She'd have her sister come in to play Sarah and act out scenes from the book. But then it was the kids' turn.
And then they had the opportunity to come in and perform that chapter.
McCarthy says the kids were really engaged with those skits and learned more about the books they were reading. But she says after the MCAS took hold, things changed after the test scores in Hull kept coming back low, at least compared to its neighboring districts.
Now my instruction has to be about how reading that chapter would look like as an open response question rather than reading as a love.
Now, it's worth noting, Max, that it was really hard to find teachers who would speak openly with us for this story about, quote, teaching to the test.
I've found that, too. I guess you could imagine why. That could be read as an admission of defeat, like you don't know how to do your job.
But Deb McCarthy is one of the more vocal critics on this issue. She feels really strongly about it. She's the president of the Hull Teachers Association.
She says over the years, more and more, the focus of the school year has become that test and the material that would be on it. And that meant there was little to no time to squeeze in large projects that required student creativity. McCarthy says that has been frustrating. But more importantly, she's concerned about how it will affect kids in the long run.
Their success out in the workforce and in life and relationships has nothing to do with the school and everything to do with project-based experiences, with the ability to think outside the box.
State education officials push back, though. Massachusetts Education Secretary Jim Pizer says the test should be at the center of curriculum.
We're testing really important stuff that all students need to know.
Pizer says it's a trade-off.
But one worth making, if the goal is to prepare students for life beyond the classroom.
As long as we agree that what we're trying to focus on is to ensure that all students are getting access to a core body of knowledge and skill that they need to have, then I think that's an appropriate trade-off for us to accept.
To say that what we have is a good measure of college preparation or of career preparation is just not true.
That's State Senator Pat Jalen.
And she points to a lot of recent research that suggests a student's high school GPA is actually a better predictor of college and career success than their score on any standardized test, including the MCAS.
We have picked something that seems to be simple and easy to organize and compare, but it directs instruction towards things that are not beneficial to children.
For Jalen, there's an unavoidable conflict here, and she says state officials haven't recognized it.
Is their top priority to a number so you can compare schools and kids, or is it to have kids learn? And those are different questions.
Education Secretary Pizer acknowledges the test isn't perfect and doesn't measure everything, but it's the best we have right now to objectively measure schools.
But that could be changing. Tomorrow we'll be wrapping up this series with a closer look at six districts in Massachusetts that are experimenting with new ways to measure student performance, ones that could work a bit better with what teachers hope to do in the classroom.
That's WBUR Edify's Max Larkin and Carrie Young. Well, let's get some response here, some reaction to that report you just heard. Joining us in the studio is Beth Kontos. She's president of the Massachusetts chapter of the American Federation of Teachers. Beth Kontos, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Also with us is Jamie Gass, director of the Center for School Reform at the Pioneer Institute. Jamie Gass, it's good to have you.
Thanks so much.
I want to start with you because obviously that story, we heard a lot of voices of people who are critical of the MCAS. What do you make of their points that it doesn't even actually measure what kids need to know in the 21st century?
Well, I'm someone who really likes history a lot, and I think that the historical context is really important. I worked for the BU-Chelsea partnership before ed reforms. I worked in Chelsea on the ground with superintendents. And the reality is that before ed reform, before the grand bargain of money in exchange for the standards and testing and accountability, most superintendents and policymakers really had no idea what was going on. There was a general sense that there were some higher performing districts and lower performing districts, but there was no data to sort of make that clear. And what we now know after 25 years is that ed reform has been historically successful. You could make an argument that this has been the most successful thing that any state has done over the last 50 years.
And you would say that MCAS was a critical part of that success?
MCAS was a central part of the grand bargain of the money in exchange for the accountability. And if you look at the nation's report card, if you look at TIMSS, which is the gold standard of international math and science testing, we're the envy not only of the United States, but we're really become the envy of the world because we have been so high performing.
Okay, so point taken. And Beth, I'm going to come to you in just
sure.
a second. Here, but
mm-hmm.
so that's the historical context. But here we are 25 years
right.
later. I guess
right.
the question is MCAS right for what Massachusetts students need now?
I think it is. And I think the reality of it is that it's not just the test. It's the test and its pairing with standards. And Massachusetts, going back to ed reform, mandated really high quality curriculum frameworks that were grounded in the kind of liberal arts education that Deval Patrick had when he was at Milton Academy or President Obama had when he went to Panahoe. And so I think that's really what the architects of ed reform were trying to get at. Bill Weld and Tom Birmingham and Mark Roosevelt yeah. were liberal arts guys, and they tried to have a law that helped enshrine a liberal arts education for all kids.
Right.
And the MCAS mm-hmm. has been the equalizer to help deliver that.
So Beth Kontos, let me
yes.
turn to you. Get your reaction to what Jamie Gass said. But,
sure.
but I also want to just inject another idea here mm-hmm. that they touched on at the beginning of the story. There has always been this fundamental question of if a state is going to say, we believe that students deserve an education up to X level, there has to be a means by which to measure that progress.
Sure.
And MCAS is the tool. So
it's
so in
a
that
tool.
Case,
and I think going to what Jamie said, that the data has proven that things weren't perfect before. No one's going to dispute it in education that ed reform before that, we had problems, okay? But we had inequalities in our districts, especially in our poorest districts, and now our gateway districts, right? People who don't speak English yet. I believe the data has proven successfully that poverty and lack of the acquisition of a fluency in English is really what's been holding our children back. So 25 years later, we keep proving the same thing every time we give the test.
What if we decoupled the accountability part out and used MCAS as just a pure measuring tool
sure.
to give us a sense of where kids are? What would be the problem
right.
then?
And it's the high stakes that bothers us the most. When our students who are English language learners they get a certificate of attendance because they didn't pass their ELA MCAS exam. They cannot then go on to get any kind of a student loan to college. They are hindered forever unless they come back and continually yeah. take the MCAS over and over and over again.
Jamie, yes, this is something that I've heard a lot over the past several years, that MCAS inadvertently may actually hinder the very students it was meant to help.
Well, I think the evidence is pretty clear from NAEP. NAEP is the nation's report card. It's the independent measure. It's what all states take every couple years in reading and math. And what we know is that the eighth graders in Massachusetts that are the poorest minority students, they score around the national average. That is to say, the most disadvantaged kids in Massachusetts are outperforming essentially half the country. That is a remarkable accomplishment. There's no question the achievement gaps have persisted, but we have lots of examples. We have outstanding charter schools, which are largely majority, and we have voc tech schools, which are largely special, twice the state average of special needs kids. And these schools are doing a remarkable job. And I think the state makes this case, and you can see it in the data. The dropout rates are, it's like they're about 2% annually. And So it hasn't been this tyranny, I think, that people like to tie with it. And it's a central part of the money in exchange for the more difficult things like the standards and the tests.
Well, it is a tyranny if I could if you take over a school. So since 1993, the first 10 years or so, there was a huge influx of money into our neediest schools. And that is what has really made a difference. Then from 2008 on, from the recession, we've had really level funding. Yet we're taking on the costs of healthcare and inflation. So we're getting less and less money in education to spend individually towards children. And yet we have constant test prep. And we're spending a lot of money and a lot of time off learning doing the test prep.
Yeah. So, Jamie, I'm going to have you respond to that. But just to add, back in September 2017, the Holliston superintendent, Brad Jackson, he's the vice president of the Massachusetts Association of School Superintendents, he seemed to say that at least in his district, he actually said that his message to teachers was, I'm taking off your handcuffs regarding what he called teaching to the test for MCAS, that he said it was teachers were devoting too much classroom time prepping students for MCAS, and he wanted them to be free of that.
Well, I mean, I guess the first thing is that the test is based on the standards, and I think that many of us could agree that things like Huckleberry Finn or Moby Dick or Dickens or Sherlock Holmes or Frederick Douglass, that the quality of the standards, that's what helps inform and drive the tests. And I think there's nothing wrong with teaching a test if there's those kinds of things that you would find in a rich liberal arts education found not only in the standards, but then in the test.
Can I just jump in here for a second? Because another concern that I have heard is that because MCAS is math and English language arts and then later science and stuff, that you're also, in, especially maybe in some of the younger grades, you're having, when we say teaching to the test, we're having curricula designed for MCAS, meaning that like in maybe elementary middle schoolers aren't getting as much science or social studies as they could because it's not being tested for.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, the thing is that so under the original ed reform law, English and math and science and history were all supposed to have tests.
Right.
We're 25 years into ed reform and they've never made the test in history live. And what we know is that in English, math and science, we do as well as anybody in the country and right up there with, you know, Japan and South Korea and Hong Kong in terms of our international competitiveness in math and science. So I do think the curriculum has been narrowed, but I think what has narrowed the curriculum, frankly, is federal legislation, No Child Left Behind, and the ESSA law that the Obama administration just signed a couple years ago. That has really kind of directed everything towards English and math.
Yeah.
And so what I'm saying is that there's more testing that is dictated under federal law than there was originally under
the
ed reform law.
We have a minute to go. And Beth, I just want to ask you one last question here, because I know that teachers unions, some or / all of them, have been adamantly opposed to high stakes testing. Mm-hmm. But I still come back to this question. If not that, then what? How is it that we can measure the quality of the education the students are getting?
Sure. Well, there's lots of ideas. Teachers have been doing it a long time before this came along. Teachers always test. That's not a problem. We assess daily. It's not always a multiple choice test. That's the problem with this. It's very narrow testing. It's a lot of fill in the bubbles, a lot of short answers, no time for creativity, no time to really demonstrate what you know. We believe in project-based learning. We believe in activities and debates and reading and writing and loving our classroom. And that doesn't come across for some of our students in a test like this.
Jamie, you want 10 seconds here?
Yeah. I mean, look, I think a classic liberal arts education is delivered through something like MCAS. It's a large system, million students. We want to make sure that as many kids get access to the great ideas as possible. And I think the test is able to do that.
Jamie Gass, director of the Center for School Reform at the Pioneer Institute. Thank you so much. And Beth Kontos, president of the Massachusetts chapter of the American Federation of Teachers, thank you.
Thanks.
That's it for today. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.